So we're continuing our series through the Sermon on the Mount. A Normal Christian Life is what we've entitled it. And this morning we are finding ourselves in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. And you can jump right to the second slide there. Food is a topic of great interest. I love food. Anybody agree with you? Like, food is good. I mean, I like food. I like eating it, and I like making it sometimes, most of the time, but mostly I like sitting down and just eating, enjoying it. And so food's a good thing. We, in our house, we enjoy watching different kinds of food shows. I mean, there's so many food shows on television now, cooking shows, baking shows, competitions, and our favorite is Chopped. Anybody like Chopped? Chopped is, if you don't know the show, it's there's three judges, right? Three judges, and there's four contestants, and they're given, they don't know, but they're given an array of ingredients, and they have to come up with an appetizer. So they have four ingredients, they come up with an appetizer, and they have a certain time limit, and if one doesn't make it, they get chopped. And then the next set is they have a meal, like that they have to put together. Again, four things that they get kind of told. You're going to make it out of lamb chops and Brussels sprouts and who knows what else, and they got to come up with something. And then one gets chopped, and then the last two have to come up with the dessert, and then they get a prize. So I enjoy that one. There's a lot of other ones. But it's amazing to me when I watch that show, how many things can be a part of bread pudding. It seems like bread pudding is like the dessert of choice. Oh, what are you going to make? You know, I think I'm going to make bread pudding. Well, that comes up a lot. Also, when it comes to food, there are always restaurants that are popping up, some closing and new ones opening. There's fast food. I've kind of put that card up there, a picture of it, all the different, some of the restaurants that we, some fast food, some eat-in restaurants, some fine dining restaurants. It's really popular now, I've noticed, and you've probably noticed it too. When you go to a grocery store, the biggest section in the grocery store these days is the prepared food section. And there's always people there. There's, you know, whether it's the pizza or breads or soups or sushi or who knows what else. But there's just all kinds of, and there's always people who are just lining up to have their prepared food. And then, oh, I don't have to cook tonight. I'm just going to have it done and ready. And there it is. And food is accessible to us. We're also exposed at the same time, all this food, to all kinds of diets so that we eat the right kind of food. To eat less food, to eat vegan, to eat non-gluten, eat no sugar, no carb diets, protein-only diets, fruit and vegetable diets, the seafood diet. Anybody know about the seafood diet? I like the seafood diet. You see food and you eat it. That's my kind of diet. I was listening on the radio just this week, and it was interesting, not surprising to me, but he said that most people who have started a diet in 2019, say, I'm going to start a diet, talk about resolutions, I'm going to have a diet, will probably quit or break their diet by February 1st, if they haven't yet, but that's the general rule that they have found. I think it's safe to say that we are, it's probably unfair for me to say we, but I'll say it anyways. We're obsessed with food. And so to listen to a message about fasting, which is what I'm going to talk about this morning, might be a bit countercultural. Because fasting is not something that we talk a lot about in the church. It comes up from time to time, but it's not something that we give the same kind of attention to as we would to prayer or even to giving. And yet, in the Sermon on the Mount, it shows up in the same teaching of Jesus. Jesus talks about giving alms to the poor, and he talks about praying and what that looks like, and he talks about fasting, all in the same part. It might be a good reason for us to give attention to this and to ask ourselves the question, how can I add this aspect of worship to my life? Is there any good reason for this? And if so, how can I do this? And so to start with, let's listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 to 18. It's in the bulletin insert. You can follow along, or I'll just listen as I read. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Of all the spiritual disciplines, fasting is probably the most feared and maybe even misunderstood. Because in the history of the church, there were times where fasting was forced upon people as a part of worship. It was kind of like, it was even used as a punishment for sins. It's like if you sin, then you need to fast so much time. And there was this sense of almost fear and foreboding over this idea of fasting. To this day, many people look at fasting as a form of suffering, or at the very least, a form or a very negative experience. There's a couple of contexts where you might hear about fasting, of course, as a part of a diet. I think it's the keto diet, where there's a part of that diet, there is some intermittent fasting included, where it's included in that to help with weight loss. You might hear about fasting for health purposes, where you have to fast before a blood test or before some kind of medical procedure. And we often hear about fasting in the context of Ramadan, which is the Muslim period of fasting and prayer. It's just so much a part of our culture now that we're aware that, oh, during Ramadan, people who are of the Muslim faith are fasting. In most churches, you would probably hear more about giving than you would even about fasting. Richard Foster, in his book Celebration of Discipline, said this: "Could it be that for our culture, fasting calls for a much more significant sacrifice than giving?" It's an interesting question, because there's no question that fasting goes against the stream of a culture that simply enjoys the art of indulgence. Now, this has to be said. Fasting is not about you. It's not about a diet. It's not about a hunger strike or anything else. But true fasting always centers on God. Let me give you a definition of fasting, and it's up on the slide as well. Fasting is to deliberately say no to food in order to give attention to God. That's a simple definition of fasting, to say deliberately say no to food in order to give attention to God. Now, for the purposes of this message this morning, I'm going to talk mostly in relation to fasting from food, as according to this definition. But it is true that we can stretch this definition to say no to any activity or pleasure for a time with the same purpose in mind, to give attention to God. So there is such a thing as a TV or a social media fast, or even just a general media fast, where you can say, I'm going to turn off my social media so that in the time and effort that I would normally give to that, I'm going to give my attention to God. Or maybe a shopping fast, or maybe a chocolate fast. We all love that one, right? No chocolate or a caffeine fast. So there's all kinds of different ways to look at it. But for the purposes of this message this morning, and I want you to know that you can cross-apply it to all those different things, but I'll be talking primarily about this definition of fasting, deliberately saying no to food in order to give attention to God. So whatever activity or indulgence you choose to take a break from, that can be an intentional fast. It is an opportunity where you are able to make an intentional effort to fill that space with a spiritual activity. Fasting is kind of like an exclamation point to other spiritual activities that you are pursuing. Fasting is included, as I said, in Jesus' teaching about doing righteous acts, living out your faith in terms of giving to the poor and prayer, and he also includes fasting as a part of that teaching. In the same way that giving and praying are a normal part of being a Christian and the Christian life, so also fasting is not meant to be excluded from our experience. Important to note that the umbrella idea, the whole thing covering these three acts of righteousness, the giving alms to the poor, praying, and fasting, is that we are careful not to do these things so as to attract attention to ourselves. That's the whole point that Jesus is saying. When you give to the poor, when you pray, when you fast, don't do it so that you attract attention to yourself, but do it in secret so that your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It's not about you being recognized or praised for doing these wonderful things. Because if you want to be recognized for your giving, if you want to be recognized for the fact that you pray or the fact that you fast, then that is your reward. The whole point of doing these things is that you do it before an audience of one. I love that phrase out of N.T. Wright's translation of this. He says, we do this to an audience of one, and our audience is our Father in heaven. I want to read this, what I read earlier from another translation. In fact, it was on the screen earlier, and this is from the New Living Translation, where it kind of gives us a little bit more of a contemporary wording of this passage. If you could put that, there it is right there. When you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled, so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, and no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. And so, again, just to underline that, fasting, just like with prayer and like giving, as we talked about in previous weeks, it must come from a right motive or it loses its value. Jesus assumed that his followers would fast. Notice that he says, when you fast. He doesn't say if you fast, but he assumes that that's going to be a part of the life of following him. Fasting is going without food so that you can give yourself to prayer and to spiritual exercise, denying your body food in order to give focus to prayer, give focus to attentive listening, to reading, and to meditating on Scripture. It's usually done when you're seeking God's direction about something, and or it may be something where there's a special need. It may just be out of a sense of obedience that says, you know, I have a real hunger, a desire to hear from God and to connect with him in a significant way. I just need that. And so sometimes that in of itself is like a draw to participate in fasting. An overlooked discipline, fasting is, it's definitely something that we as followers ought to give more attention to because it does help us with a sense of focus. You'd almost think that, you know, when you eliminate something and it allows you to kind of say, okay, I'm doing this so that I can focus my attention on God. It is a denial of self. It helps in the development of self-control and cultivating a sense of dependence of God. When Jesus is teaching the Sermon on the Mount, he's speaking primarily to a Jewish audience. And for a Jewish man or a woman, a part of their annual celebrations was the Day of Atonement. And during the Day of Atonement, it was a national day of fasting, where they would all fast. And so Jesus is not specifically talking about this event. He is speaking about fasting that is done out of a sense of being drawn to God, a sense of responding to him in a personal and an individual way. And so as they are responding to God in this way, Jesus is saying, when you fast, when you do that, do it in such a way that doesn't draw attention to yourself, but only done to give attention to God and his work in your life. In the Old Testament, there are records of the people being called to nationwide fasts where they would repent together or seek God's deliverance from an enemy. We have record, and you can read about it, where Moses fasted, where King David fasted, Elijah the prophet and other prophets fasted, Daniel fasted, Esther fasted. These are all just a few of those who are mentioned in the Old Testament who responded to a particular situation or to a particular need, and it was like God was calling them to fast. And so they would set aside their food, and for a period of time, they would fast. Jesus himself fasted. In fact, Jesus fasted 40 days at the very beginning of his ministry. After he was baptized, it says that he was led to the desert, and there he fasted for 40 days. And during that time, he was tempted by the devil. He was strengthened, and he was ministered to by in a supernatural way by angels. And so when Jesus is talking about fasting, he's not speaking about something that was way out there or extreme spirituality. It's sometimes we think about people who are fasting and say, oh man, wow, that's like an amazing thing. I can't believe that they would fast for like a day or oh, 3 days or what, oh, 4 days or 7 days. I know a guy who used to fast regularly for 40 days. And I'm thinking, I mean, this guy is like a spiritual giant. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Fasting is not like this extreme spirituality. It's just a simple responding to God in obedience and saying, I want to give my attention. I want to give my focus to hear from God and to see him work in my life. And Jesus is saying this is something that every follower of Christ is invited to do. The timing of when and why you fast is really up to you. Many Pharisees in the time of Jesus fasted twice a week on Wednesday and Friday. It just so happened that those 2 days were also major market days. And so the Pharisees would fast on the days when everybody was in the market, and that was a great opportunity for them to walk around with their hair unanointed. You know, they didn't put oil in their hair, and they kind of looked disheveled. Maybe they didn't shave, and they kind of walk around. Oh, yeah, I'm going to market, but I won't buy because today I'm fasting. I'll resist the mangoes. I'll resist the figs because I'm fasting. Good that you're all eating, but I won't eat on those market days. And that was kind of their way of, well, like what Jesus said, that's their reward. But he's not encouraging us to fast in a way that draws attention to ourselves, but that we would center our attention on God. They got the response they desired. People thought they were wonderful. Wow, giving up food so they can meet with God. How spiritual, how amazing. God must really love them. Well, they got the reward they desired, and that was all they got. But Jesus' followers were to be different when they fasted. Jesus said, comb your hair, wash your face, put on clean clothes and deodorant. Don't draw attention to yourself, to your fasting. Brush your teeth. Please brush your teeth. Use mouthwash when you fast. You'll find out if you ever fast that the first thing that's going to be affected is your breath. Because, I mean, that's just what happens. Just do it. But that's the whole point. You're not drawing attention to yourself and to your fasting. We should do everything to make ourselves look normal and not attract attention to ourselves. The only one who should know you are fasting is your Father in heaven. Of course, we don't want to discount the practical consideration of telling your wife that you're fasting, or your mother, or your father, whoever does the cooking at home, lest they think that you don't like their cooking. Let them know, you know what, I'm fasting, so honey, I won't be eating today. Once again, the reward for those who develop the discipline of secrecy in regards to fasting is that God will see what they do in secret and reward it openly. The blessing of God, that true desire and intent of your heart will be satisfied if you fast not for recognition, but to deepen your relationship with God. If your motive is to deepen your relationship with God, that is what will happen, because your Father who sees what you do in secret will meet you there. He will speak to you. He will show himself. He will affirm his love for you, his blessing and his leading in your life. He will reward what is done in secret. So here's the question. What could this look like for you? Well, real practically, a suggestion or a challenge for each one of us is, as beginning with today, we begin a few days of focused prayer for ourselves, our families, our community, and our church, as Diana has shared. And I should note as well, this is taking place in the staff room here at the school. Not in this room, but upstairs in the staff room each of these evenings. So the suggestion is that perhaps this might be an opportunity for you to not only make time and space for prayer, but maybe also to choose to fast a meal, or even a whole of these days, or maybe through this period of time. to recognize, you know what, this is an opportunity. I'm going to make time and space to come for that hour of prayer, but I'm also going to open my heart before that by maybe not having supper, or maybe not having a couple of meals, or maybe over a day. And so as you do that, it's like setting the intention of your heart to listen for God's voice, to allow yourself to be attentive to what God is saying or doing around you. You're going to find in these prayer gatherings, that's going to be the focus of what we do, is really listening and hearing. And when you choose to fast, it's almost like you, I could almost say it's almost like you put that intention to listen on steroids. It's like you say, you know what, I want to listen, but when you fast, it's kind of like you say, yeah, I really want to hear what God has to say, and I'm going to allow him to speak to my heart. The core message Jesus is passing on with these words is that when you fast in secret, your Father sees. He takes notice. He is attentive to this secret act of worship, and he will reward you. It doesn't define the reward. This is not even to be the motive. But yet, this is the promise. We can't separate this, those words, because it is there. It's written there for us. And so what your Father sees, as you set your heart with such an intentional act, the promise is that he will reward you. He will meet you. Let me talk about a few practical considerations about fasting. And later on in our Q&A, some of you might also have some suggestions or thoughts, things that you have experienced. But to start with, start perhaps, if you've never fasted before, maybe start with a meal, possibly even from lunch to lunch. So you have lunch, and then you decide to fast supper, and then breakfast, and then you have the next day you have lunch. And so during those times when you are fasting, whether it's a meal or it's a number of meals, with the time that you would normally maybe be sitting at a table and eating and preparing food, you take that time and you just kind of withdraw, and you just use that a time of quiet, read scripture, maybe prayer, maybe journal, or do something that really kind of helps you with that intention or that focus that you are choosing to do. If you're not accustomed to fasting and you haven't done it, or you haven't done it a lot, it's a good thing to drink fruit juice during a fast, and or even just water and things like that, because that just kind of helps kind of with some of the nutrients in your body. You can choose to do a 24-hour fast, a 3-day fast, a week, 40 days. I mean, I'm not there. I think the most that I've ever fasted in my life was over a 7-day period. I did that, and that was a great spiritual experience, but it was also like I really did feel it. Like I said, there's different variations when it comes to fasting. You can fast all day, like from the morning to the evening, and then you could end the day by breaking a fast each day with fruits and vegetables, and then kind of plan to do that again for the next day for a few days. There's what's called a Daniel fast. Maybe some of you are familiar with that. It's modeled after the fast of Daniel when he fasted for 21 days, and during that time he took no wine or no caffeine, no delicacies. He only ate fruits and vegetables. And so the fast there is to kind of withdraw from the delicacies and the sweetness and the different treats, but kind of limit one's eating to just fruits and vegetables for a period of 21 days. When you fast, you will have hunger pangs. You will feel a sense of hunger. If you've ever done that, you know that. That's okay. I always like to see those hunger pains as a reminder that I am using this time to be attentive to God. It's almost like that's a moment where God uses my body to kind of remind me that, oh yeah, I'm doing this to pray. I'm doing this to listen and to hear what God has to say. Or maybe it's just a reminder to kind of stop what I'm doing and say, oh yeah, I'm praying. I'm fasting for this reason. The more the spiritual discipline of fasting is included in your life and worship, the more you will see the impact on your spiritual life. It will create an appetite for more of God in you. I want to read something from Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline. This is part of a journey of a person's experience as they committed their life to fast one day a week. And it's interesting as you just read some of these journal entries during this period of time. They had made this commitment to do it over a period of 2 years. But they talk about kind of this journey through this process and how it affected them. And so let me just read the first entry. This was right near the beginning. I felt it a great accomplishment to go a whole day without food. I congratulated myself on the fact that I found it so easy. You know what? I can relate to that. The first time, the first few weeks you do maybe a day, it's like, oh man, this wasn't so bad. Continuing later on in the fast, in this commitment, I began to see that the above was hardly the goal of fasting. I was helped in this by beginning to feel hunger. The third entry, again, further along in this time of commitment to fast one day a week, I began to relate the food fast to other areas of my life where I was more compulsive. I did not have to have a seat on the bus to be content or to be cool in the summer or warm when it was cold. Later on in the fast, this journey of fasting, I reflected more on Christ's suffering and the suffering of those who are hungry and have hungry babies. 6 months after beginning the fast discipline, I began to see why a 2-year period has been suggested. The experience changes along the way. Hunger on fast days became acute, and the temptation to eat stronger. For the first time, I was using the day to find God's will for my life, and I began to think about what it meant to surrender one's life. After 6 months of that process, it took that much time to begin to realize, oh, this is about surrender. And then the last entry they have further along in this journey. I now know that prayer and fasting must be intricately bound together. There is no other way, and yet that way is not yet combined in me. And so there's a sense of a journey that it's not just about the fasting, but it's also the spiritual work that goes on alongside that as one seeks God in prayer. When breaking a fast, whether it's after a day or a few days or even a day, a week, it's not the time to overindulge. Well, that's caught me on a number of times. I've fasted and then it's like, oh man, I made it. And it's like, that's not the time to overindulge. But it is really a time to be mindful of what has taken place and to then break the fast with fruits and vegetable, maybe a light meal, soup or something like that. And these are just some practical thoughts that have kind of come across my way when it comes to fasting. But the major work of fasting, according to God's call to do it, is the spiritual work that takes place in our lives. What happens spiritually, what happens when God meets us, is so much more important than what happens bodily. When you fast, you are engaging in a spiritual battle. You're doing battle in the spirit, and you're using spiritual weapons given to you to do battle against the flesh and the enemy. And one of the most critical times spiritually is at the end of the fast when there's a real tendency to kind of relax. Fasting can be a great opportunity to see great breakthroughs spiritually, to work our appetites to a place where we intentionally become attentive to God. That's what it's really about. It's about going without food so that we can focus our attention on God, to listen, to hear, and to let Him do His work in our lives. Whether you plan to start on doing this week, and I do challenge you, encourage you to do that, this might be a good window of time for you to do it. Or in the coming weeks, let me just encourage you to just start to do it. As important as giving to the poor is, and we've talked about that, and as important as seeking God in prayer is, and we've talked about that, fasting is a vital part of your life and your worship of God.